This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, it's Friday afternoon, April 12th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. A third of American companies are reportedly exploring a four-day work week. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, more discussion has taken place this week involving sports stadiums in Chicago. Let's get the latest from Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Justin, thank you for joining us today. And this latest attempt to explore a possible financial stream for both the Bears and the White Sox to utilize for new stadiums south of Chicago involves the city ticket tax, which has been expanded to cover some other things. And it sounds like the city is saying thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, so this is, the city's amusement tax. This is, when you buy a ticket to a White Sox, a Cubs, a Bears game, you pay a 9% tax on that ticket that flows to the city. It's in place for other things like theaters and movies and other events. But what the teams were proposing, and I'm told the White Sox brought this up in discussions with the city and the Bears this week, would kind of capture the ticket sales at those stadiums. So it wouldn't be the citywide tax, but specific to their stadiums. And hey, if we could get that revenue to flow towards us so we could help build these new stadiums, that would help a deal get done. But the city, I'm told, I don't know if they fully rejected it, but certainly said, we're not super interested in that. That is money that currently flows to us. It helps support city services, and we're not willing to give that up.
Would this be described as a first ask or a second ask proposal from both the White Sox and the Bears? Because it sounds like they're not getting a warm reception in Springfield for additional state funding for both facilities. And is this the first time the city of Chicago has told them no?
Well, it's the first time I'm aware of on this specific kind of line of revenue, right? This would just be another additional addition to the financing needed for these stadiums to be built. But it's the first I'm aware of this specific tax being brought up and rejected by the city. But yeah, you're right. The state, Governor J.B. Pritzker, State Senate President Don Harmon just this week, I think his line was next to no appetite to discuss these public stadium subsidies right now. So yeah, they're kind of in a rock and a hard place, right? The state general assembly meets through May. So if they were wanting to get a deal done this session, like they say, like both teams have said that they want to, the clock is ticking on that, and they really have to come up with a better plan than they have thus far to get the politicians on board.
Justin, is there any indication that both teams are pursuing Plan B in trying to get the state and local government to be a little more amenable to opening up the pocketbook? I mean, would that require the Bears to increase their private investment and for the White Sox to offer some private investment into a stadium project?
Yeah, I don't know. We might be on like plan L and M and T right now. Kind of just throwing everything out there to see what sticks. The Bears, have obviously said they will put in $2 billion in, or over $2 billion in private investment. And they haven't rolled out their full plan for how the rest of it would be built, right? I've reported that there's potentially $1 billion in infrastructure costs around the Lakefront Stadium that would need to be built by the city. And then there's the rest of the stadium costs that would be paid for by bonds issued by a state agency. So once we know more about their details, I think we can discuss that a little more. On the White Sox side, it's hard to see this getting done without Jerry Reinsdorf putting in the team's own money. And thus far, he is not committed to doing that. And I think that's what state legislators in the city are waiting on, to see if he will budge off that and then maybe start discussing in more detail the rest of the deal.
Justin Lawrence, reporter, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A four-day work week is a growing possibility with the American workplace. Let's discuss the prospects with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern, based in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. Now, clearly, the four-day work week is gaining traction with some employers, but not all of them. Otherwise, Rick, you'd be talking to someone else right now.
I was wondering the same thing. We wouldn't even be having this conversation.
You're right. It'd be somebody else. But this is clearly something that has taken hold in the post-COVID world. And how are the four-day weeks, work weeks, kind of taking shape in the companies that have adopted them?
Sure. Well, we're not the U.S. The U.S. really hasn't done the same sort of wide exploration of the four-day work week. The U.K., much of the EU in general has. And by and large, they are in favor of, if you look at the UK study, 89% of the people that started the study a couple of years ago are still doing it, and 50% of those have made it permanent. And half of the companies that did it said they had a significant reduction in turnover. The German data that comes in is a little bit different because they do find there's an increased level of stress. I don't know if this is cultural or not, but the need to get all your work done in less amount of time tends to generate stress in people that are pretty structured. But in general, early data suggests that it's a good thing and doesn't necessarily hurt much. The other part of it is, though, that these studies, are over half of them are in the service industry. Now, the U.S. is a service economy very much now. There's still some issues to think about.
Now, there are some companies that experiment with summer hours where, you know, during June, July, August, you get Fridays off and then you're back into the 9-to-5, 5-day work week mode once the weather starts to turn. But you hear from some people who work in offices with summer hours, and they say, and maybe this goes back to that German study, that they do feel stressed to actually get their work done by close of business on Thursday so they can get that Friday off. Otherwise, they're coming in.
Right. Well, I think for the most part, that's a decision that's made by the employee. We have a couple of things that are different in the U.S. So if you're an hourly worker, are you going to get overtime if you go over your 40 hours? Most of us have to have health care based on where we work. That's an issue. The unions are going to play a part in that. The other part of it in the U.S., we're a driven, very work-oriented country. So 5-day work weeks really weren't 5 days. Those that were salaried worked sometimes every day. And why is it necessary that the 4-day work week will be really a 4-day work week? It'll be the expectations, but not necessarily reality. And that's going to be driven more by the culture of the company and the people than it is actually any sort of mandated policy.
And then when it comes to the adoption of AI as a productivity tool and not as something that replaces employees, when we're talking about that kind of crunch to get all of your work done by close of business on Thursday so you can take advantage of that Friday off, maybe AI and AI tools will help you achieve that dream.
Yeah, of course, it's still early days there as well. We tend to look at technology solutions as things that will happen in the future. Lately, we've learned that they happen much more quickly than we thought they would. So AI is certainly going to be utilized and is being utilized now. And most of the big tech companies are investing heavily. Apple is throwing the boat and anchor into it right now. But I think that doesn't really address the issue of work time and what you do with the employees. The other things that you're going to have to deal with in a 4-day work week are going to be scheduling challenges. Oh, geez, you know, Rob's not here. We can't do that interview. Some individuals are going to struggle with feeling less connected with their fellow employees. Others, though, are going to be really excited about getting it all done so they can get Fridays is dedicated to chores and Saturday and Sunday for the family. So the crystal ball is quite cloudy at this point.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an entrepreneur who's found a niche in the brewing business.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday, and in this segment, we're exploring the business of brewing non-alcohol style. Welcome in Joe Chura, founder of Go Brewing, launched last year, located 1665 Quincy Avenue in Naperville. Joe, thank you for joining us today, and I'm guessing if your brewery is on Quincy Avenue, you're just a hop, skip, and a jump for the train tracks.
We are not far away at all.
And, you know, there's been a great deal of discussion in the cocktail space and in the brewing space about non-alcoholic options. I mean, every January there's a flood of dry January segments, and a lot of people are really gravitating toward beer and wine and cocktails that have little or no alcohol content. So what was your aha moment?
It actually happened in the height of COVID. My wife and I had been drinking and were gluttons, and I had decades of just having this habitual beer after work or drink, and we finally said enough's enough. We were out of shape, just did not feel great. We abstained from alcohol for 75 days for this challenge that we did, and I felt incredible. Lost a bunch of weight, felt less anxiety, and I was like, man, there's something here. But I would always have these massive cravings, again, at like 5 o'clock or after work on weekends. And the only thing that cured my craving is non-alcoholic beer. So studying the segment of where the industry was going, looking at myself, I knew I could make a product that would have a wide variety of great-tasting beer to curb my craving, but other people's as well that wanted to adopt a healthier lifestyle.
It's funny you mentioned that, Joe. My college roommate and I met up last week, and we're having a conversation about how we just don't have the ability to pack him in like we used to. Because, you know, back in the days of college, you know, you could be out until 2-3 in the morning, and then you go to Taco Bell, you have some TV time, and you're good to go. And then now you just don't have that recuperative power you once had. And all of a sudden, you know, the non-alcoholic beer and cocktails, they're a lot more appealing, and they're a lot better. They're better tasting than they used to be.
Yeah, they have to taste like the real thing, and that's the beauty about beer. Like our non-alcoholic beer tastes almost identical to the regular octane stuff. And last year we sold 35,000 customers online. 80% of those customers want moderation. So 20% are sober, but those 80% really, they just want that healthier lifestyle. They want to remember tomorrow. That's our slogan. And when you have kids and you're in your mid-40s, like,
yeah, that's
like me, like, it's tough. You know, you can't do it.
As I like to say, the kids get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, whether you like it or not, and you'd much rather be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for them than you know, putting your pillow over your eyes.
And no one feels sorry for you if you have a hangover. That's the sad part about this whole thing. And I realized that it took me a long time. It's like, that's the one thing you could be sick from, and no one cares. It's like, you did it yourself.
And then lastly, so you came into this from the digital marketing space. You sold two companies, and was this simply, you know, you talked about how you had the 75-day challenge. Was this simply a function of, I need to find something next, and then all of a sudden lifestyle changes led you to it?
Yeah, I was really looking for my next why. I mean, certainly there's a lot of other ways to make a lot more money, but I was thinking about something that I was super passionate about. I wanted to help other people, and it was serendipitously like the perfect fit for me, because I knew we could sell online to use the skills that I acquired over the last couple decades, and also just create a product that helps many, many people that were suffering from the same thing as I was.
Joe Chura, founder of Go Brewing, 1665 Quincy Avenue in Naperville. Thank you for joining us today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Investigators are working to find answers following the deaths of a couple inside a suburban home. Tensions are running very high in the Middle East with the fear of a much wider military conflict in the region. Entrepreneur Friday making the transition from social media executive to healthy pet food provider. Also on the entrepreneurial front, the expanding vision of a local optical company, WBBM Business. The markets are lower. The Dow is down 562 points. The NASDAQ is down 302. S&P 500 down 88. 59 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Investigators are working to determine the circumstances behind the deaths of two people in Wheeling. Police were called to a home in the 300 block of 12th Street late last night and found their bodies, a gun reportedly recovered from the scene. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office has identified them as 46-year-old Marissa Dister and 44-year-old Russell O'Connor. The U.S. says it's expecting a major retaliatory attack by Iran against Israel, possibly today.
U.S. military leaders have been in touch with their counterparts throughout the Middle East. General C.Q. Brown Jr. is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
And we're doing things not only to prevent a war, but at the same time, one of my primary things is to make sure that all of our forces in the region are protected.
Brown spoke on CBS Mornings. CBS News has been told an Iranian attack on Israel could include more than 100 drones and dozens of cruise missiles. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are trading sharply lower today. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO, KKM Financial, based in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Is this sell-off today simply a lot of investors coming to grips with the realization that there may not be an interest rate cut this year?
Rob, I think that's one of the inputs this week. It's been quite the roller coaster. And to your point, we did see consumer price index, CPI, come out hotter than expected on Tuesday. And that was the third consecutive month of that hotter inflationary data, which the Fed may now have the ability to not have as many interest rate cuts or possibly have zero interest rate cuts. But what's fascinating about today's market, this is a reaction in conjunction with the political, geopolitical tension about the potential invasion you were talking about with Iran on Israel. That has gotten people defensive. We've seen just a phenomenal move higher in the S&P 500 since last November, up about 25%. So today, if we do close lower here, we're down almost 2%. We have not had a down 2% day in the stock market for the S&P 500 in nearly 300 days, dating all the way back to February 21st of 2023. So, yes, it doesn't feel good, but I think it's okay to book some profits here. I'm not going to panic. We're not seeing the VIX above 25 or 30 by any means. But, yeah, this is an acute reaction going into a long weekend where there could be a ton of turmoil.
And then we also have the beginning of earnings season today with J.P. Morgan reporting. Even though profits were higher on a per-share basis, they exceeded expectations. Even J.P. Morgan was saying those higher interest rates are beginning to bite.
They are beginning to bite. It's fascinating to see. J.P. Morgan's had a phenomenal run, so you are seeing some profit taking in there. But we saw Citibank. We saw BlackRock with great results, beats on tops and bottom, and we're seeing that price action to the downside. So when you see stocks, specific names and earnings seasons, report well on the last quarter, and then they get sold on that, that either says two things to me, Rob. One, that the earnings expectations are too high, or people are becoming, for the first time in a long time, potentially a risk-off sentiment.
We're talking about today's market activity with Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. What is the calculus for investors going forward? It looks like interest rates, if we see one, it'll probably happen in December after the election. Are they more moved by interest rate activity or the possibility of interest rates being cut, or are they just simply happy to see a strong economy delivering strong profits?
I think it's been the strong economy, the strong consumer, which has been the undercurrent. But to your point, interest rates do dictate market action. And I go back to the days I was in the pits in Chicago, the Chicago Board of Trade, trading bond futures, and I still look at that as leadership. And with the 10-year note moving, have a dramatic move higher in yields this week, nearly 20 basis points, I think stocks will become sensitive. We did not see an immediate reaction when those yields went higher. Typically and historically, Rob, you would see stocks sell off when you saw a jump like that in yields. However, we haven't seen that. It's a little delayed almost reaction today. But I think with the prolonged higher or the higher for longer that the Fed's talking about, I think that is going to potentially still give them an opportunity for a soft landing, but there is not going to be a straight line there. We are going to see some volatility return to markets, and I think that's okay in this election year.
And then the turmoil in the oil markets brought about by geopolitical events, some analysts suggesting $100 barrels of oil, depending on how this whole thing plays out. Will we get back to those highs we saw at the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war, or is America such an energy-producing machine now that that serves as a bulwark against oil prices going up to those levels?
No, I think it's a problem, Rob. I think you see crude oil moving higher. It may even spike this weekend another $5 or $10, but at $86, it's a problem at the pump. And when the family truckster for the Kilbergs, you know, hit the road this summer, that's gonna be a problem where we're paying. But I think you're seeing inflation spike in all commodities. You're seeing gas higher, you're seeing crude oil higher, you're seeing gold at new all-time highs, you're seeing cocoa, you're seeing all these different commodities raise higher, and that short term could be a little bit of a warning sign for us.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO, KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, meet a former Facebook executive who left the social media giant to start a holistic pet food business.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're meeting a businessman who made a radical change in his career. We welcome in Tom Ericks, founder and CEO of Get Joy & Company in Norwalk, Connecticut. The brand is called Get Joy. And Tom, thank you for joining us today. And you came into this from the world of Facebook. So what prompted you to undertake a radical change in your career?
Well, first, it's great to be here, Rob. Thank you so much. I learned so much when I was at Facebook. It really is where I learned all about entrepreneurship. I was there when it was a tiny company. 100 employees in 2006. It was about team building. It was about the world of being just super curious. After I left Facebook, I was advising, but I always wanted to get back to doing the things I love, which was building teams and businesses. And my love of dogs and the line to get back to doing something crossed in 2018, and that led to the creation of Get Joy. And the company has never faltered for one day on our mission, which is to improve the lives of families and dogs through pet nutrition and wellness. And it is, it's been the most fascinating journey. It is an incredible space. Sadly, Rob, you know, 56% of all dogs out there in the U.S. are obese. There's the incidence of cancers, depending on the breed, between, you know, 20% or a quarter of all dogs get cancer in their lifetime. So it was time to create a very purpose-driven company and really affect the lives of these amazing creatures who do so much to us. So, you know, from our intentions as pet parents, 97% of us, through a recent survey, all want amazing things for our dogs. They give us so much. But sadly, we're not doing enough. And there's a ton of work to be done. There's education needed. Nutrition is the greatest, best way to fuel the body with great ingredients that are to improve your gut, your inflammation, and make you just a healthier human and dog.
You know, Tom, this is kind of a through line through the Entrepreneur Friday segment, and I've been doing this now for 8 years. And it's you have someone who is in a career, and I'm guessing, you know, in the first 20 or so years of your career, you have your blinders on. You want to build that career. You want to just stack success after success. And then you get to a point where you say, what am I going to do now? I have 20 more years of my professional life. What am I going to do with it? And it sounds like, and this was your case too, you decide to pursue your passion. And how did you do that in such a way to make sure this business was a success?
Yeah, and you're so on, Rob. I spent a lot of time when I learned that my dog had lymphoma in the fall of 2018, and that kind of that reflection opportunity really was, how do I reallocate my time and my energy, and how do I take what I've learned and what I, you know, through maybe a blinder process, but how do I apply that, and how do I then use that in the most meaningful way? And I've always loved dogs. I've always been a part of, you know, animals from growing up as a kid. And they've always played an incredible role in, you know, my current family and with my siblings growing up. And I think it's just the ability to just reallocate my time and energy and think about purpose first and think about building something that's meaningful to people and obviously dogs, versus just going to build something just to go compete. So it's a little bit counterintuitive, but I love the notion of putting a stake in the ground around purpose, building products and building a brand that can be trusted and that can be a part of someone's life for many, many years to come. And that's what I thought about for 6+ months. But nothing was lost on me about what I learned through, you know, the prior 20 years of my career.
Tom Ericks, founder and CEO of Get Joy in Norwalk, Connecticut. Thank you for joining us today on this Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come on the Noon Business Hour, expanding a city business footprint to the suburbs.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Entrepreneur Friday continues. Let's check in with a past guest who's making a new move. We welcome in Michael Kogelis, founder and CEO of Big City Optical, 17 locations across the Chicago area. Michael, thank you for joining us today. And this expansion story is going beyond the big city, but you're not going too far. You're just going a couple of blocks into the western suburbs.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. And yeah, I would say that we want to support our city clients as they continue to move around the Chicagoland area. So our next new location is at 1100 Lake Street in Oak Park, downtown Oak Park. So we're really excited to be able to offer our same level of service and products as we do in the city.
And what, in your mind, you know, what has really driven this success story and this expansion story?
You know, I think that you have to have employees and owners of businesses that are just excited about, delivering great products and services to clients and patients. And certainly, I think that with our company, Big City Optical, we've been doing this for, going on to our seventh year. And just excited that so far clients have appreciated what we've been able to do around their eye health. And then simultaneously, it's been something good for us propelling our growth.
And on top of that, it's not just an optometry shop. I mean, it is a place where you go to get an eye exam and see an optometrist. But if you do have a glasses prescription, you could also pick up some fashion frames or three along the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go shopping these days, you've got to have fun. So having fashionable eyewear is critical. You know, while we do, we like to maintain our foundation of quality eye care, at the same time, we have all of the most popular brands that are out, that are wanted out there in the market today. And just the quality combined with the service is really what we're known for.
And then the history of optometry and how insurance pays for optometry, was there any defining moment or moment of change that really made your business possible or lucrative? I mean, was it the introduction of health savings accounts 20 years ago that really kind of changed things for the optometry business?
You know, where I think we're different is that we embrace what's happening today versus worrying about what's changed from yesterday. And so, you know, as what we've seen in the market today is that, you know, local community banks are really willing to support the growth of a small business. And we've got a great relationship with a local bank here in Chicago, which has been exciting. And then simultaneously, I think that, clients want to use their insurance. And so, you know, unlike some places, we embrace their ability to choose how they spend their money. And so we want to make sure that we give them the most value that we can possible by accepting their insurance.
Michael Kogelis, founder and CEO, Big City Optical, 17 locations across the Chicago area. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.